Okay. All right. If you want to go ahead, turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. That's where we're going to be. And we're going to look at verses 11 through 14 tonight. So Ephesians 1, 11 through 14. If you haven't been with us the last couple weeks, what we've done, we started a new series called Identity, Who We Are in Christ. And so we're slowly making our way through the book of Ephesians. And we're looking at what does it mean to have our identity in Christ? Because all of us wrestle with what is our identity? Who are we? What is our purpose? And so we want to look at, through Ephesians, how ultimately our identity is in Christ and how that plays out in our everyday lives. And so we've already seen over just the first 10, now 14 verses, we've seen just how the triune God, how he affects us and how he is a part of our salvation. So we've seen God the Father and how in him we are chosen and we're adopted to his family. Last week we looked at through Christ. In Christ we are redeemed through his blood. And so tonight we're going to look at the third person of the Trinity, and that's the Holy Spirit, and how in Christ we are secured. How we are eternally secured by the Holy Spirit. But before then, I just want to ask this. If there's anyone in here, if there's brave soul or souls that think they're really, really strong. Anyone think you're really, really strong? And you're willing to test your strength in front of everyone. All right, then come on up. If you feel like you're strong and like you can, it could be whomever. So, no. Hey, what are you saying? Man. Now here's, so you think you're really strong? Could move or break anything or whatever you need to. All right, here's your goal. I need you, without using a key, I need you to try to unlock this or break this, okay? All right, well, you said you're really strong, so you can try to break it however you want. You said you're really strong, so we're going to test it out. I don't have it. That's why you're here. It's really strong. I said, if you need me, you can phone a friend. If you need, like, two other people to help. Dylan, you can come up if you want. Trent, you raise your hand. Cam, to raise his hand. Try it out. Test it out. I believe in y'all.
Yeah, where's the hammer? Oh,
wait. We gotta use the tool we've got here. Don't worry.
Take it outside.
I'm trying to pass on that.
I don't know if we have 2 to 3 business days, Joel. I'll give y'all like 60 more seconds. Anyone else want to help them? Anyone else want to jump in and try? I don't know if I'd recommend throwing. We already got a hole in the wall, but.
Where's the concrete at?
Outside.
All right, can we use that?
I've got like 60 seconds. You got like 30 seconds. All right, time. So let me.
It didn't work.
Yeah. Nice. Hey, you know what? At least give them a round of applause for good effort. Hey, look. They were willing to step up and try. So let's at least encourage them with that. So here's the thing. They tried several tactics. They tried a bunch of friends pulling it together. They tried a hammer. They tried everything. It might got beat up a little bit. But, hey, the lock stayed secure. You know, nothing undid the lock. It was safe and secure. Nothing was able to break it apart, even though Mike got dented a little bit. I don't think I'll need this anymore. If not, I'll just have to get a new one. But it's okay. But here's the beauty of it, is that the only way, obviously, it can be unlocked is with the key, is that I was the one that locked it. And so unless you have the key, that's the only person that can unlock it. And so in a beautiful way, I want this to be a representation of how the Holy Spirit eternally secures us, and how there might be other people that try to pry us away from Jesus. There might be some people that try to beat us up. There might be some people that, I mean, they really try to mess with us and mess with our faith. But in the end, God is the one that has locked this up, and only He is the one that can undo it. But we know in Scripture that He does not undo that. That when He secures someone, they are eternally secure, and nothing can change that status. And that's the beauty of it. But here's the reality, is all of us, we're born with a sinful nature, and we're prone to believe either that we can lose our salvation, or that once we now believe in Jesus and know that it's all because of Him that we're saved, we have to think, okay, now I have to do my part and keep up a whole bunch of good works to keep it. But that's not the case. In fact, what I want us to see tonight is this. The main point is that in Christ, we are saved by the grace of God and eternally secured by the Holy Spirit. So, by the grace of God, He is the one that secures us. He is the one that saves us, and He puts the Holy Spirit inside us, as we're going to see, as the guarantee, the down payment of our inheritance, which is ultimately redemption, as we started talking about last week. So, let's look at these first few verses, and then we'll pray, and then we will jump in. So again, verses, chapter 1, verses 11 through 14, this is what it says. This is the word of the Lord. In Him, we have also received an inheritance, because we were predestined according to the plan of the one who works out everything in agreement with the purpose of His will, so that we who had already put our hope in Christ might bring praise to His glory. In Him you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believed. The Holy Spirit is the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the possession to the praise of His glory. So let's pray, and then we will jump in and study. So dear Lord, we just thank You so much for tonight. We just thank You for these truths that we're about to see, how because of what You have done in eternity past, then we can be secure even right now and into eternity future. Why? Because of Your work through salvation. From You, Your planning, to Christ redeeming us through shedding of His blood, and through the Holy Spirit coming and living within us and sealing us for all eternity, and marking us as Your children. And so I pray as we study that, Holy Spirit, would You just purify all of us in here of our pride? Would You humble us and submit our hearts to Your word? Would You free us up from any distractions, from our neighbors or our phones or anything else? And have to listen in to what You have to say to us through Your word. And I pray, Holy Spirit, not only do we receive this with joy and humility, but we also respond to this. And so it's only by Your power and Your grace that we can do this. And so it's in Christ's victorious, precious name we pray. Amen. So there's two truths we're going to get out of this passage. First one is this. The Holy Spirit delivers us from the power of sin. So we're going to see how the Holy Spirit does two different things in our salvation. The first one, He delivers us from the power of sin. So again, in verse 11, it starts with, in Him, so in Christ, we have received an inheritance. So we constantly keep seeing these two words, in Him, in Him, in Him, what do we have? So in verse 3, it says, in Christ, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing. In verse 4, in Christ, we are chosen in Him. Verse 5, in Christ, we are adopted through Him. Verse 6, God lavishes His grace upon us in Christ. Verse 7, we have redemption in Christ. And now in verse 11, we receive an inheritance in Christ. So what is that inheritance that we're receiving? It's what we started talking about last week. It's this redemption. It's being saved from our sins. It's experiencing eternal life. It's experiencing new life in Christ that can only come from Him. So why are we able to receive this inheritance? Well, we see that in the second half of verse 11. It says, we have received an inheritance. Why? Because we were predestined according to the plan of the one who works out everything in agreement with the purpose of His will. So we've seen this word predestined before back in verse 5. What predestined means? It means to be or become determined ahead of time or before its occurrence. So we saw in verse 5 where it says, God, before anything was created, He predestined, He knew in advance, He chose those who were going to be saved. And we saw how if we have believed in Jesus, we are part of the ones that He chose and set His love upon us and showers His grace upon us. And so now in this, not only are we predestined to be adopted as His children, but on top, that's if that's not great enough, but we're predestined to have an inheritance. We're able to receive this redemption and eternal life. And so, and God did all of this according to his plan. And so that means God has had a plan from the very beginning, a plan to redeem all of creation. And if we have believed in Jesus, then we are a part of that redemption, which means that you're part of the plan that God has had from eternity past, before anything even existed, which means a plan, it means a series of steps to be carried out or goals to be accomplished. So God has had every step planned out from eternity past into eternity future, and even right now as we speak. So from the moment of creation, where we see in Genesis 1, in the beginning God, till the very end, the end of Revelation, where there's a new heaven and a new earth and a new creation, every step has been planned out and will be perfectly carried out by God. Which means this, God is sovereign over every step, over every aspect of our salvation. And that's good news for us. That means God is not surprised by anything. That means God holds us fast through the very end. That means God knows all of our sins and faults and failures, yet still chooses to love us and redeem us and use us. He chose us before the foundation of the earth. He sent Jesus to die on the cross to pay the penalty for all of our sins for all of time. And then Jesus was bodily resurrected from the grave, and he ascended to the right hand of the Father, which means it's like that was his exclamation point, saying, I have done this. And then when he ascended, the Holy Spirit descended, and the Holy Spirit draws people unto himself. The Holy Spirit opens our eyes to see our need for Jesus. The Holy Spirit empowers us to be able to believe in Christ. And then we see in this passage, the Holy Spirit seals within us. He eternally secures us until one day God makes all things new and redeems everything. So if we know that from eternity past to eternity future and every step in between that God is sovereign, then that begs the question for us today. Do you believe God is sovereign over everything? Do you see the world around us and what happens and go, is God really in control? Or do you have days where you falter and fail and go, is God really in control of my salvation? Save me. Do you believe that he's sovereign over every aspect of your life? Because here's the thing. Either God is sovereign or he is not. There's no in-between. And as we see in Scripture, we can rest in the fact, knowing that not a single molecule is outside the eternal, sovereign control of God. And so every plan, every aspect of salvation, he has planned from the start, and he knows every step. So we can rest in him, knowing that he holds us. But he wants to see this. We receive this inheritance, which is redemption, and it's a foretaste of what is to come. So we get to experience redemption now, and we get to see it slowly move through the earth and all of creation, and we'll see it one day where he fully redeems every aspect of this. And this redemption process is the Holy Spirit freeing us from the power of sin and starting this redemption process. So the Holy Spirit breaks the power of sin over us. So we see this in Hebrews 2:14-18, where it says, Jesus took on flesh, yet never surrendering any aspect of his divine power, deity, or divinity, and he empathizes with us, not angels or anything like that, because they don't need redemption. He empathizes with us as human beings. Why? Because it says he breaks the power of slavery, of sin, of death that Satan has over us. That he breaks the power and they can empathize with us. In Romans 8:11, it says that the same Holy Spirit that bodily rose Jesus from the grave spiritually resurrects us and lives within us. Think about that for a second. Jesus, who was bodily resurrected from the grave, the same power that resurrected Jesus bodily is the same power that resurrects us spiritually and will one day give us new glorified bodies. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, in Christ, you, we are a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. So the beautiful thing about this is whatever your past is, whatever has happened in your past, know that if you are in Christ, you are a brand new creation. You are a brand new creation in him that is redeemed and is loved and is forgiven and he cares for. We see this in Romans 8:1, where it says, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, there is no condemnation. So if you're in Christ, there's no condemnation against you. That sin no longer has a hold over you. Sin no longer has to be your defining factor. Sin no longer has to be something you stumble across or stumble and wrestle with. Why? Because the Holy Spirit breaks that power over us. He breaks the chains of sin over our lives. He delivers us from the power of sin. So if we're in Christ, sin no longer holds us. It no longer has control over us. It no longer defines us. We are new and redeemed and forgiven by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is all who have placed their faith and hope in Jesus. That's what it says in verse 12. It says, so that we who had already put our hope in Christ might bring praise to his glory. Here's what we see in Romans 5:5 about this hope. It says, this hope will not disappoint us because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So we are redeemed, we're forgiven, we're delivered from the power of sin. And so here's what this should lead to if we're redeemed. Our redemption by God should lead us to praise God. Our redemption by God should lead to the praise of God. That if we have been saved from what a sin debt that we can no longer pay, if we have been delivered from slavery, then we should worship the one who has paid that debt and who has freed us from that. And so the way we praise God is through our lives, so the way we live our lives. That if we have truly encountered God, if we have truly been overwhelmed by him forgiving us and saving us, then that'll be reflective in our lives of the words we speak and the thoughts we have and the lives we live out. Because here's the thing, the Holy Spirit not only just saves us, but he sanctifies us. That means not only does he help us believe in Jesus, but he helps us grow in our relationship with Jesus, to look more like Jesus, to, as Romans 12:2 says, to conform more into the image of Jesus, which is our theme verse here at Impact. Here's other things that the Holy Spirit does. John 14:26, the Holy Spirit will teach us all things and bring to our remembrance all that he has said to us. In Acts 1:8, it says, we will receive power from the Holy Spirit. So we will be witnesses of Christ in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to all the ends of the earth. Meaning, we will be witnesses in Gloucester, in Virginia, in the United States, and to all the ends of the earth. In 1 Corinthians 12:7 through 11, it talks about how the Holy Spirit gives each one of us, if we're in Christ, a spiritual gift that is to be used in service to Christ and to this local church, whatever church you are a part of. In Romans 8:26-27, I love this one, where it says, maybe you are going through such a difficult time right now where you're like, I don't even know what to say. Like, I'm so overwhelmed with emotion. I'm so overwhelmed with guilt and grief and pain and suffering. I don't even have words to say. In Romans 8:26-27, it says the Holy Spirit intercedes, or he prays for us when we can't even put into words our pain. And then lastly, Galatians 5:22-25, he helps us grow in the fruits of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit, as it says, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. So the Holy Spirit delivers us from the power of sin in order that we may live for Christ. So, are you living for Christ? How are you living for Jesus right now? Or think about that list I just said. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. If you were to match your life up, okay, goodness, then we'll throw that in there too. So if we're to compare our lives with all of those different fruits, how would your life measure up? Are you growing in those different fruits? Are there ones you see where it's like, man, I'm really lacking in those areas? Are you growing in your knowledge and the teachings of Jesus? Simply meaning, like, are you studying his word and meditating on it, thinking about it, think about the ways that he helps us? Are you living that out? Because the Holy Spirit will convict us of our sins. He'll bring us to faith in Jesus. He'll help us grow in our walk with Jesus. In us receiving this inheritance, us being redeemed, it's not the end of our spiritual journey. So when you believed in Jesus, and when you were baptized, that was not the end of your spiritual journey. That was the very beginning. That's the very beginning of his work redeeming you and all of creation. Why? Because we see this in the second main truth, which is the Holy Spirit will deliver us from the presence of sin. So in the first half of verse 13, it says, in him you were also sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. So that word sealed, it means to be sealed securely, to be or become designated and made secure as a sign of authentication or ownership. So in the ancient world, if something was sealed, that meant it was a mark of authenticity. It was a mark of ownership, saying, I own this. This is mine. This is authentically mine. Or if someone were to deliver a letter, there would be a seal on the back of it. So when it got delivered to the person, it showed not only is there authority and authenticity of it, but it was carried intact from the very beginning to the very end. So it would guarantee that. So if you have believed in Jesus, it says you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit, that God has made his mark on you saying, you are now mine, and I'm going to carry you intact until the very end. Yes, you might get beat up a little bit. Hopefully you don't get a hammer. Hopefully that's not the case of what you deal with. But you might face some hardships. You might take a beating a time or two, because we live in a fallen world, it can be rough. He goes, but I'm going to seal you. I'm going to mark you. You are mine. You are my child, and nothing can undo that. We see that in Romans 8, where it says, look, if God is for us, who can be against us? If God did not even spare his own son to save us, then how much more will he provide for us as his children? And it goes through this laundry list, amazing, of like neither height, nor death, nor angel, nor demon, nor power. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And so another way we see this in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, it says, let us lay aside every sin, everything that slows us down, and let us run this race with endurance, looking to Jesus, who is the author and perfecter or finisher of our faith. So what that means is Jesus is the author of our faith. Jesus means he knows the whole story of our lives, which means he's the one that not only saved us and brought us into this race, he doesn't just save us, place us at the starting line, and go, all right, have a good life. I'll see you in heaven. No, 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 no. He brings us into this race, and he says, I'm going to live inside you. I'm going to come alongside you, and I'm going to walk with you every step of the way. Good days, bad days, great seasons, terrible seasons. When you're going through hardship and when you're going through amazing times, I'm with you every step of the way, and then I will help you cross the finish line. Oh, by the way, I'm also going to be at the finish line saying, well done, good and faithful servant. He is with us every step of the way. So how does one become sealed with the Holy Spirit? Well, we see this in the second half of verse 13. It says, in him you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Why? When you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believed. So heard, it means we heard the gospel, which means we listened to it with intention. We weren't just mindlessly doing that. We intently listened. And then it says we believed. It just means we're trusting in Jesus. All the content that's contained in the gospel, that we believe in Jesus. So to be sealed with the Holy Spirit, one must hear the gospel and respond to the gospel. So if we're to be sealed with the Holy Spirit, then we must hear about this gospel message, this redemption. So yes, we see that God is sovereign over all of our salvation. But we also have a responsibility to go share this gospel with other people. We saw this last week, that as the Holy Spirit is redeeming and renewing us, we're to go out and tell other people. That as we have received this gospel, we're now entrusted with it to go tell other people about it. This slowly advances the kingdom of God. It's empowered by the Holy Spirit until one day he redeems all of creation. Which means the Holy Spirit not only redeems us and saves us, but he has divinely placed you everywhere you are to be able to glorify him, to praise him, and to share the gospel with those around you. So I want to do a little experiment to help us with this. I want you to stand up if you're in public school. Go ahead, look around. See who's in public school. See. Okay. Go ahead, sit down. If you are homeschooled, go ahead and stand up. Okay. Awesome. Thank you. Go ahead, sit down. Let's go a little more specifically. Stand up if you go to Peasley Middle School. If you go to Peasley Middle School. Okay. There you go. All right. Y'all go ahead and sit down. Stand up if you go to Page Middle School. All right, go ahead and sit down. All right, stand up if you go to Gloucester High School. All right. Go ahead and sit down. Stand up if you are on any sort of sports team, rec, travels, school, whatever. All right. Thank you. Go ahead and sit down. You see how there were so many different groups? There were so many different groups. And here's the thing. Even within those different areas, even though there might be a lot of you in one place, there's still a lot of area to cover. All of you might not be in the same classes. God has divinely placed you even in the different classes you are. He's placed you at the specific position that you play with those you play alongside. He has specifically and divinely placed you who you even eat lunch with. Why? So that you can share the gospel with them and live out your faith in them. So you have been sealed with this Holy Spirit, and you're to grow in your faith so that others may see that in your life. That others may see a life that has been radically transformed and changed by the gospel. So you share your faith with them. Why? Because we see this. Here's the reality. We're to live out. It's not just about the here and now. It's the bigger picture, guys. We see this in the first half of verse 14. It says the Holy Spirit is the down payment of our inheritance. Other translations say he's the guarantee of our inheritance. What that means, it means a deposit, a partial payment made at the time of purchase with the balance to be paid later. So how many adults in here, you have paid a down payment on your house? Get out of here. I said adults. Right? And you slowly pay that off. But you're saying you put this money up front saying, okay, I'm going to cover this and I'm going to slowly continue to pay for this more and more and more until it's fully mine, until it's fully possessed by me. And so here's what we see in Philippians 1 verse 6. Paul says, he who started a good work in you will carry it out until completion. So that means the work that God started in you, the salvation that God started in you, he's going to carry it on even until we stand before Jesus new. And when we stand before Jesus with a new heavens and new earth, which means even if you have given up on yourselves, God has not given up on you. Even feel like you have just fallen too much, if you believe in Jesus, you are sealed. And he's with you every step of the way. Again, God is sovereign over every aspect of your salvation. That God holds you in the palm of his hands and nothing will snatch you from that. We see that in John 10, 27 through 30, where Jesus says, hey, the sheep hear my voice and they come to me and they are in my Father's hand. And no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. Here's the beautiful thing. God will finish what he started. So which means if you have believed in Jesus, God has started a good work in you. He will carry it out until the new heavens and new earth. So even if you feel like you are just a hot mess, even if you feel like you are just way off the tracks, God has not given up on you. God is not done with you. God is still working on you. Why? Because he showers his grace upon us, as we've seen. The Holy Spirit starts the work of the kingdom of God within us, redeeming the world around us, until one day he redeems everything. God has given this down payment saying, look, Jesus has come and he has purchased our salvation and the Holy Spirit seals you and he's my down payment saying, look, you are mine and I'm going to continue to invest in you and pour in you little bit by little bit, payment after payment, growing in Jesus until one day you are perfectly like Jesus because of me. One day God will purchase everything back that is his because everything belongs to him. And we get to see how this ends. Look at the second half of verse 14. It says, the Holy Spirit is the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the possession to the praise of his glory. So we saw at the end of verse 12, it says, why did he redeem us and give us this inheritance? To the praise of his glory. Why do we see this to carry out until the very end where one day he will purchase everything back? To the praise of his glory. It's all to praise and worship God, which means the entirety of our lives is meant to worship God. Every aspect, because here's the thing. We're all born and created worshipers. We're always worshiping something. Whether you realize it or not, ultimately we're created to worship God, and that's what brings us human flourishing, fulfillment, and contentment. But it seems like when we worship other things, yeah, we're not going to find contentment. That's when we try to worship a boyfriend or girlfriend. We're not going to find contentment. We try to worship our academic abilities. We'll never find contentment. When we try to worship our athletic abilities, we'll never find contentment. It's only through worshiping Jesus that everything will flow from that because he is our life. And so we get to worship him now and we get to start what we'll see in the end. So here's what I want everyone to do. I want everyone in their Bibles to turn to Revelation real quick. I want us to see what the end picture looks like of how we're to start worshiping him now and what that'll look like in the future, how it's all to the praise of his glory. So first, let's look at Revelation 5. Revelation 5, verses 8 through 14. We're seeing this end where God redeems everything and how worship will be. So Revelation 5, verse 8 through 14. This is what it says. It says, when he took the scroll and the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one had a harp and golden bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of the saints. How amazing is that? That as you're praying right now, he's gathering all your prayers. The prayers where you feel like they just hit the ceiling, come right back down. Prayers are going to say, why wasn't this answered? He's gathering in a bowl. And here's what we see. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slaughtered and you purchased people for God by your blood from every tribe and language and people and nation. You made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign on the earth. And then I looked and heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and also of the living creatures and of the elders. And their number was countless, thousands, plus thousands of thousands. And they said with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and everything in them say, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. Look right over in Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, where it says this, "After this I looked, and there was a vast multitude from every nation, tribe, people, and language, which no one could number, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. And they were clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb.'" And then Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 through 12. I want this to be an encouragement to you, no matter what you're going through, that here's how you overcome. Here's what it says. "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, 'The salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have now come, because the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been thrown down,'" meaning Satan has been thrown down. Verse 11, how did they conquer him? How did they overcome him? Through this: "They conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they did not love their lives to the point of death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down with a great fury, because he knows his time is short." This is the down payment of our inheritance that we will one day get to see when God purchases everything back, saying, "You are mine." Which means if you've already believed in Jesus, he's already said, "You are mine." And nothing, nothing, nothing can undo that. So which means whatever you're going through right now, know that in the end, Jesus wins. Whatever you may have faced, whatever you're going to face, know the Holy Spirit forever is sealed within you. And God will not stop working on you what he has started in your life. Whatever may happen in this life, whatever you may do, the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of your salvation and proof that God does not regret saving you. And that God's not done with you. And he doesn't give up on you. Why? Because he's committed to himself and his glory, and so he's going to work us out for the praise of his glory. The Holy Spirit will save you, he will sanctify you, and he will help you cross that finish line. That is what the Holy Spirit gets to do in our lives. So let me ask you this. Have you received the Holy Spirit? Have you received this promised Holy Spirit? The only way you can receive it, it says, if you have heard this gospel message that we said, that Jesus came and lived a perfect sinless life, died on the cross, paid the penalty for all of our sins for all of time, buried in a tomb, bodily resurrected, ascended into heaven. If you believe in him and his finished work, then you are saved and you are sealed with this Holy Spirit. So if you have not received this Holy Spirit, you can have that be tonight. Second, if you have received that Holy Spirit, how are you living for Jesus now? How are you reflecting this end reality, this down payment of our inheritance? How are you living out that inheritance now? Are you squandering that inheritance that God has entrusted with us? And then lastly, how will you join in God's redemptive work of creation? Here's the beautiful thing. Because if you are in Christ, everyone has a role to play. I don't care what your personality is. I don't care if you're introverted as all get out and you don't like talking to anyone. I don't care if you're extroverted where you love talking to everybody. You have a role to play. I don't care if you're whatever your athletic ability is, your academic ability is, your personalities, your talents, your gifts, your abilities. God has uniquely created you, saved you in Christ, and then uses you, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to tell other people about Jesus. So the Holy Spirit will reveal this role, and he will empower you to do it all for the praise of his glory. Why? Because he not only breaks the power of sin and delivers from the power of sin, but one day he will deliver us from the very presence of sin, which means we'll no longer have to wrestle with all the evils and sins we see in this world. He will deliver us, and he's with us every step of the way until then. And that is the beauty of what we have, how in Christ we are secured because of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you just so much just for the beauty of this. I thank you how because of you, Lord, and your plan from eternity past, that you seal us for eternity future, but provide for us even right now as we're in the in-between of that. How we're in the already and not yet of your kingdom. How it has started to invade earth and redeem everything, but one day you'll redeem everything back to you. So Lord, until then, would you help us live faithfully for you? Would you help us by the power of your Holy Spirit put off the sins of our past you freed us from, put on this newness in Christ that we have to live for you. And as we do that and grow in our faith, even though we're not perfect, we won't be perfect until heaven, that people will see our progress and our growth, and we're able to share our faith in Jesus with others. And so, Lord, again, I just thank you that not only do you deliver us from the power of sin, but one day you'll deliver us from the very presence of sin, that we'll no longer have to wrestle with any of these things, Lord. And so again, I thank you for each and every one of these young adults in this room. I thank you for all, just how you uniquely and have wonderfully created each and every one of them. And that you desire to use them for the advancement of your kingdom, for their good and for your glory. Would you continue to work on their lives as only you can? Would you continue to work on all of our lives as you can? Help us cling to Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. Help us continue to live out this redemption and tell other people about this redemption until one day you'll purchase everything back. We thank you the Holy Spirit does all this and guarantees all this by your word. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.